Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on family matters. Mask, mothers and fathers aligned, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health struggles, including addiction. If you know somebody that needs a referral for a therapist, an inpatient or outpatient program, please give us a call, 718-758-0400. I'll repeat the number. You may want to jot it down for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you usually sit next to and shul. Remember, all calls are kept strictly confidential. Our number again, 718-758-0400. We still are offering parent Zoom support groups. So if anybody wants to join a support group that's still offered by Zoom, please call us, 718-758-0400. Our Monday night support group is facilitated by Dr. Debbie Ackerman. Our Tuesday night is Dr. Shmuel Brachfeld. Our Wednesday night is Rabbi Dr. Ben-Zion Twersky. Our Sunday group for blended families only, supporting each other in second marriages, bringing up each other's children, is every other Sunday night with Yeshaya Krause. Cheryl Friedman does Wednesdays in the Five Towns in person. So give us a call and sign up for one of our groups. Tonight, I'm really happy to have on with somebody that I've been running after for a while to come on to the show and finally got on because he's so busy, so sought after. And that is Moshe Muller, who Dr. Muller is an attending psychologist at Mount Tabor Medical Center, an assistant professor in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at Albert Einstein College of Medicine. But he also runs a program that he is director of, supporting healthy relationships, and his program is called Hero Dads. So I'd like to welcome you on, Dr. Moshe Muller, this evening. How are you? And thank you for making the time.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on. It's amazing all the services that MASC offers and these different groups. We've come a long way in the FRIM community, so it's such an honor to be able to be here with you and to share some ideas and thoughts.
Thank you. And yes, we are in our 27th year doing this, 27 years, over 120 some thousand families. So we've been really doing this for years and years and years, but thank you, Hashem, that now there's so many more organizations out there and programs to help share the burden of helping the call, the work, not the burden, but the work of helping the call. So Dr. Muller, can you please share more about your work with Hero Dads program?
So Hero Dads is a program based out of Montefiore Medical Center. We are a free, federally funded program for low-income, non-custodial fathers, or fathers that have partial custody, don't necessarily live with their children. And we provide the dads with relationship and parenting workshops and individualized coaching sessions. We also provide them with employment and financial workshops to help them understand the importance of financial stability in the family. And we also help assist them find jobs if they are unemployed and underemployed. And we provide support groups. We provide incentives for joining. And, you know, yes, this is our sister program because we also have another program called Supporting Healthy Relationships. And that's geared towards couples, low-income couples. And we also provide similar services as well. And so we serve over 300 couples each year, 300 dads every year. And we've been running these programs for many years now. I'm really passionate about fatherhood work. My dissertation and my doctoral program was in fatherhood, specifically from fatherhood. And I've really extended my research interests and clinical focus into cross-cultural fatherhood. But in my faculty practice at Einstein, I also see couples, and I see some from couples, some from fathers. And so I have a lot of different experience with parenting and fatherhood. So I'm happy to be here to share more of that.
Thank you. So you say you did your research on from fathers. Can you share something about what you did learn from that?
Yes. So I interviewed, I did have a team to help me with the coding, but I interviewed 30 fathers over the course of a few years. And it was a mixed method design, which means that we used qualitative measures and also quantitative. So we really wanted to understand the in-depth experience of what it means to be a from father today, because fatherhood over the past century has really developed and evolved over time, together with, we would say, the civil rights movement, or also now inflation and all the different things that happened over the years. Fatherhood now has changed the same way that motherhood has changed. And so we really wanted to understand what that was like and what the challenges they're going through, what may be of interest to clinical staff or mental health professionals that work with these individuals, and also just for the community at large. And so we found a lot of different interesting things. One of the important things that I found was so striking was that when men become fathers, they actually become more religious. I mean, they push themselves to become more from, because now their focus changes from themselves to their family and for now their kids. And so they are really, it doesn't mean that they become, you know, they flip out, right? But there's things that they realize, their focus really changes, and they want to become a better person. Their values, they want to solidify that, and they know that now they have responsibility to bring up a child. I have to make myself better, and if I want my child to be better. So that's one big thing. Another very interesting thing, a correlation that we found, was that those who grew up, because I asked questions about their experiences with their own father, with their own parents, and how that is impacting their own fatherhood, which is such an important piece when we talk about parenting, because as everyone knows here, if they're listening, if they're parents, they probably think about what their parents did growing up and telling themselves that, no, I'm not going to do that. Or, I think that was good. I think I'm going to do that. Or someone might say, everything my parents did was wrong, so I'm going to change it. But we did find that those who had a positive relationship with their own father growing up impacted their relationship with God, with Hashem, and their ability to pass on the traditions and the values and the minhagim to their children. Those who had difficult relationships with their fathers growing up had a much more difficulty with passing on these traditions and these values to their kids. And because many times we see authority figures and God in similar ways. And so something to consider when we're bringing up our children, that if we really want our kids to have a good relationship with the religion, we need to make sure that our relationship with our children is positive so that they can have a good association with this whole religious piece. Go ahead.
Well, okay, but I'm wondering if that makes sense, of course, but I'm wondering if you can describe different types of parenting styles you may have seen in your research.
Yeah, so if for our listeners, if those who may not know, so Laura Bamrind talked about four different types of parenting styles. She goes through ones that are called authoritarian, authoritative, permissive, and neglectful. And the way that we reach these four different types of parenting styles depends on the levels of warmth/love that we put into a relationship and the levels of strictness or limits and boundaries that we put into our relationships with our kids. And so it's sort of, you sort of make a matrix with this, right? Four different boxes. So you have those, and on the top, let's say you'll have warmth, and on the side, you'll have control or limits. And so for each box, you would say high or low. And the way that you come out is that those with, say, a high level of control or boundaries, but a low level of warmth, we get authoritarian. And many people, I think also after, let's say, the Second World War, growing up in America, had more of an authoritarian type of parenting style where, you got to listen to me. These are the rules. These are the consequences. And there may not have been such great levels of warmth. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, when you have a low level of strictness, but a high level of warmth, we have permissive. And that's where you let children do a lot of things. We want to make their experiences just to be really wonderful and loving. And we don't want to put so much pressure on them. We don't want to give them structure or limits. Many times what happens is kids that grow up in authoritarian households, they flip and they want to, and with their kids, they're very permissive. Now, the one with low levels of both of these categories, low levels of control or limits and low levels of warmth, we have neglectful. So there's not really any interaction going on there, right? And so that's unfortunately the worst type of parenting styles, and that can lead to neglect, abuse, that can lead to a lot of negative outcomes. But the last one that I want to focus on is authoritative. And that's when you have high levels of warmth and nurturance, and also high levels of rules and limits and boundaries. People may think that, oh, I don't want to put so many restraints on my kids because they may feel stifling, or I grew up that way and I didn't like it. But the key is that you're doing it together with the warmth. So, this is something that Gottman calls, John Gottman, for those who know, emotional bank accounts. So when we're able to, in so many positive interactions with our kids or our partners, our spouses, the more it's easier to take out, to make withdrawals when we need it. So if you're having so many good interactions with your children, they have a really good positive relationship with you. When you need to put your foot down about something, when you need to draw some limits, they're much more likely to listen to you because you have that cushion, you have that, insurance already there, you have that relationship built up. So they understand that you're doing this out of love and not just out of because I said so, right? That authoritarian. Now, getting back to that, we just need to talk about that so people understand what we're referring to when you talk about parenting styles. In my research, what we found was that dads did have a high level of warmth and nurturance, but their strictness levels was on the lower end. And so we're seeing, which is consistent with other, with research in the secular world as well, that parents nowadays are tending towards the permissive side of things. Now, again, it's not as bad as neglectful authoritarian, but it's still, as you know, people may call children spoiled. I don't usually like that word, but right, spoiled, or they may feel entitled. We're seeing a lot of kids nowadays feel entitled, right? And that also, that comes from having lots of permissive parenting styles, or even in the educational system. We really need to be comfortable with laying down the rules and have clear consequences, as long as you're also having those nurturance and those loving parts of the relationship, because that will lead to authoritative. And the research shows that those with authoritative parenting styles, the kids grow up to be a lot more socially and emotionally healthy. They go through school better. They are less anxious. They have less mental health issues. And so that's what we're really trying to strive towards, authoritative.
Thank you. So when people say, I want to be my kids' friends, what's your feelings on that?
That's a great question. Like being a kid, your kid's friend, it's a nice idea, right? I think what they should strive to do is you want to be, you need to have positive interactions with them. I think that's when we think about having a friend, right? We enjoy each other's company, right? Like friends, they do things together. They share things together. Like they can rely on each other. There's that love together. And that's great. That's really, really important. That's, I think, what they're meaning by friends. Friends, though, they're on the equal playing field, right? There's no power dynamic. There shouldn't be a power dynamic. With parents and kids, there always is a power dynamic, because the parent is the one who puts down the rules and provides the food and, you know, is the responsible one here, right? Parents are not supposed to use their kids as to be parentified people, right? We don't want them to be taking on responsibilities, things that they're not supposed to be doing. And so when we think about being your child's friend, I think what they mean is that they want to have a good relationship with them, a positive relationship, but they shouldn't think of it as a friend that you're on the same level. Parents still need to provide those limits and those consequences that friends wouldn't do.
So, doctor, you work with dads. What are some of the challenges that you're seeing and hearing about that the fathers are facing today?
Yeah. I think today from fathers are really challenged with finances. Finances are such a huge stress. That may seem obvious to some people, but in the research and also in the clinical work, things are just becoming so much more expensive with inflation, but also we have tuition, multiple yeshivas, or maybe seminaries, and then simchas, Baruch Hashem, that happen. But these things really add up. And many times salaries don't necessarily match the increases in the financial, you know, burdens that families face. And so I think that is such a big, big struggle for dads. And that creates a lot of stress in the family. That can create a lot of stress in the couple relationship. If the kids see it, or they talk about it in front of them, the kids can feel anxious about it as well. They can feel stressed or feel guilty to ask for things, or guilty to take extra food or something like that. And that really is such a huge issue that families face, and not a lot of families get help or know how to reach out or feel uncomfortable reaching out for help regarding. This is one of the most common issues that couples argue about, and that also that families face. And I believe that that couples and families really need to create budgets and to be mindful, and probably a lot of them are, but sometimes it just feels too overwhelming. And that I feel like sometimes men can reach out or should reach out, but maybe feel uncomfortable or don't want to admit that they need help with those areas, especially finances. Men feel like they need to be the ones to provide for the family and be there always. So, but sometimes you do need to ask for help, and that's okay also. But unfortunately, I think in the firm community, mental health is still somewhat of a stigma. I think more in with the men than with women. I see a lot more women taking advantage of mental health, and probably a lot of more women are probably listening to these parenting series than men are, unfortunately. But I'm sure there are definitely men that do listen to it and that are getting mental health help and are aware. But in general, I think men are less likely to use these services. And I think we really want to change that.
Thank you. You bring up mental health. From women do attend in bigger numbers. Like you said, they listen, they go to parenting classes. At Mass, Baruch Hashem, fathers do come to our Zoom parenting groups. They don't always stay, meaning they'll come for several weeks and then they bow out and the wife continues. That does happen. We do have many fathers that do stay, but more often than not. And by the way, the crowds in our in-person programs, MASC and other organizations, the women's side is usually full where the men's side isn't. Over the years, that changed, and more men are showing up, and we are encouraging men to show up, but we still have work to do.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I'm glad to see that change. I see the change myself. I believe there, men may drop out for a bunch of different reasons. Usually the main reason that I feel that men drop out is because they're thinking this is not relevant to them. Maybe the examples are more geared towards women, or that they don't feel comfortable sharing, or maybe they feel like, they don't want to share in front of women sometimes to have men only. But do you have men's only groups?
No. Are you ready to run one?
I do lots of those. I'm this organization in Australia actually reached out to me, so I'm going to help them run.
Well, we want you too. So let's talk.
We have
a group of men. We have a group of over 250 men. Yeah. That are divorced, that want a parent, that want a group.
Yes.
So we're ready when you are.
Like, because co-parenting is such a huge, huge topic. And in the firm community, co-parenting is not really spoken about. In the secular community, the work that I do, co-parenting is every day we're talking about that, because that's an everyday issue. But we really need, in the firm community, I don't think there are a lot of people talking about co-parenting. It's a relatively new concept.
Right. So we have a group called Brothers to Brothers.
Oh, great.
And over 250 dads that are divorced. And we hooked them up with therapists for alienation. And now they're requesting a group as well. So we'll talk. Let's go back to what are some of the tips you want to offer to dads that are listening?
So first, I'd like to say that we really want to focus on these positive interactions with your children. As I said before, right, this emotional bank account, you want to fill that emotional bank account as much as you can with those deposits, with those positive interactions. Do the things with your children that they are interested in, that they enjoy. Not the things that necessarily you're interested in, but the things they're interested in, because then they see that you are interested in them. And that again creates that strong bond between you and the child. Creating that strong bond is so important, and that can last a lifetime. Another thing to keep in mind is validation. I'm sure people have heard that, about this a lot. But validation, we don't want to take that for granted. It's so important when kids are going through something difficult, or or teenagers, we want to validate their experience before we jump to conclusions, before we jump to how we're going to fix it or problem solve. We just want to say, wow, that seems so hard, or that would probably make you feel so sad, or it looks like you're so angry about that. Oh, that looks like you're in a lot of pain. That is the key to creating that bond, because then the children see that you get them, that you acknowledge them, and that you are understanding what they're going through. And then later you can do the problem solving, but you want to focus on that validation. Another thing, you know, we don't want to necessarily force our kids to do things that may not want to, whether it's going to shul or things. You know, it's important that they see you doing the things because they know what's important and what's not important. Ultimately, you don't have to tell them. If they see that you're going to shul or that you're going out to learn, then they know that that's important, and that ultimately they have it in their head. You don't have to remind them. They know. And that when they're ready, they'll do that. They may not be ready right now. I remember Dr. David Pelkowitz always says that the children that sometimes go off the derech, or that, you know, stray a little bit, if the families that keep that love connection, that keep on loving them unconditionally, no matter what, they come back. And so we don't want to underestimate the value of these positive interactions, this love that you can show for your kids, even if they may not be doing the things exactly what you want to do. And lastly, I want to say that we can't underestimate the importance of father involvement in all children. And research shows that it's not about the quantity of time that you spend with your children that's important. It's the quality of time. And so a lot of our dads, as we said, you know, they're stressed about finances. They're probably working multiple jobs. If you have 10 or 15 minutes a day to spend with your kid, use that. Monetize on that. Turn off your phone. Minimize your distractions and just focus on that one-on-one interaction. The more involved you are with your children, and on my research actually showed that from fathers are actually more involved in their children than non-from fathers, but the more involved you are, the better successes the children have in their life. They have better mental health outcomes. They do better in school. They finish school. They become more healthy adults. And so we don't want to underestimate the importance of the father's involvement in their children's lives.
Thank you. We're running out of time, Doctor. I'm just wondering quickly, less than a minute, if you could just say what mothers need to know about fathers.
Yeah, the research has shown that the more that mothers value the father's role in the family, and they encourage them to engage in parenting activities, the more likely the father will remain involved and engaged. You know, some mothers are, we call them gatekeepers, or they feel like dads are not going to do it the right way, or like, oh, that's not how you change the diaper, or that's not how you do the bottle, or that's not how you feed them. It doesn't matter. Let the dads do it their way, because the more that you encourage them and you provide that positive reinforcement, the more involved they will stay. You don't want to discourage them. Okay, it may not be 100% perfect, but that's what you want. You want the moms need to be on the dad's side.
Well, thank you, Dr. Muller, for coming on. I hope to have you on again soon. And we must talk about the support group for the dads. And I want to wish everyone a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos. And always remember, hang in, hold on, hug tight. Tonight's show is in honor of all the Chayalim. Bring the hostages home. Please consider to donate online to maskparents.org so we can continue with all the mask programs. Thank you and have a good night.